Okay, we're on page 714. We did that sentence 36. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Okay, the last thing we learned was that the land, because he didn't keep the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, so the earth is going to take its own sabbatical year. So it says the 70 years between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash corresponded with the 70 Shemitahs that the Jews didn't keep when they were in Eretz Yisrael.
Why did they keep?
They didn't want to lose money. Shemitah means basically you let the earth empty, you can't grow anything, you can't do anything. They didn't want. Obviously they weren't. If they were observant, the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. But it says that they actually didn't keep those, the Rashi says, the 70 years that they didn't keep. Okay, so it says like this. V'nishorim b'chem, the survivors amongst you, v'veisi meirach b'lvavam, I'll bring weakness into their heart, v'artzer seveihem, in the lands of your enemies. Meaning, those that, even though they're punished and wicked and everything, but the people that still remain, so to speak, with all the punishment and everything else. So Hashem says, I'm going to give weakness into the hearts, b'artz seveihem, in the lands of their enemies. V'radav esam, people are going to chase them. Kol ala nidav, like somebody, I'm sorry, like the sound of a rusting leaf. I'll explain in a sec what that means. V'nosim menusas chedev, they're going to run away like somebody coming from a sword. V'naflu v'ein reidiv, they're going to fall down and there's nobody chasing them. This means like this. In fact, the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yehuda ben Korcha was once sitting and with some rabbis, and there was a time when they were running away from the Romans. So they heard noises in the trees nearby. So they thought the Romans are coming. So they ran away. And then they turned around, nobody was chasing them. He said, that's another part of the curse over here. It's going to be a sound of a rustling leaf that pursues you. I mean, nobody is even pursuing you. It's just the noise of a leaf that you think people are running after you. And they're going to run away. They're going to run away as if they're running away from the sword. But they're going to fall. That's, you know, it's even a worst fear. Like, people that have a fear of darkness, there's nothing to be afraid of, but when you're afraid of darkness, the anxiety is worse than if somebody would be chasing you. And this is what the same thing. You think somebody's chasing, you see a whole time in your mind, and you turn around, there's nobody there. So this is another part of the curse. Okay, so this is, so he says, The Rabbi Yehuda ben Korcha said to the rabbis, this is what this pasuk means. That they're going to get scared from the rustling leaves and we're going to run away and turn around and nobody's there. Okay, the next pasuk is a very interesting pasuk that the Gemara learns out a very interesting halacha from. The Koshlu ish bi'achiv, they will stumble one over another in flight from the sword. Meaning, k'minei cherev. In other words, you know, sometimes when people run away, they start tripping over each other and over themselves. Like, God forbid, a stampede of people, you know, and it is worse than if they would go out orderly. So the pasuk saying they're going to stumble one over another in a flight, mipnei cherev, from the sword. V'reidiv ayin, and again, they're going to see there's nobody chasing them. V'leisiyat lachem tkuma, you will not have the power to stand up lifnei eveichem, before your enemies. Okay, that's simply what the pasuk is saying. Pasuk again is saying that you're going to run away, you're going to trip on each other, and it's going to, you turn around, nobody's there, and there's a stampede of people in fear, and there's nothing, no reason to. From here, the Gemara learns out one of the sources of the halach, the famous Gemara, you're going to stumble each man for his brother. So again, simply means you're going to run and you're going to trip over each other. Here, Rashi quotes in the Medrash and from the Gemara. Rashi says, "V'medrashe v'koshlu ish bi'achiv." What does it mean? Each man will stumble over his brother. Zeh nichshel ba'aveinu shel zeh. everybody's going to be blamed for his brother's sin. Why? Shekol Yisrael Areivim Zelozet. Because all Jews are responsible one for another. Okay, so in the deep thing, the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, what does it mean you're going to stumble for your brother? If your brother sins, not brother, brother meaning a Jew. If your brother sins, you're going to be punished because you're all responsible one for another. So you have a responsibility to make sure that the other person doesn't sin. So therefore, if you don't do that, when your brother sins, it's going to be considered as if you sin. Okay? So just understand this halacha, because it's a very practical halacha, more than people think it is. This din means, basically, in a positive and negative way. Meaning, if you do a sin, I'm supposed to stop you. Okay? And if I could, and I don't, then I'm responsible for it as if I sinned. Obviously, if a guy's at the other end of the world, I don't know what he's doing, I'm not responsible for him. Even though we'll soon learn that it does affect you anyway. But simply, the pasuk says, you know somebody else is sinning, you don't stop them, you could, it's your sin. It's like that in a positive way. Not only am I responsible that you shouldn't sin, I'm also responsible that you should do a mitzvah. Kol Yisrael Areivim Ze Laze, Rashi says, all Jews are responsible for one another. What does this mean? There's a very interesting halacha. For instance, we know one who's not obligated in the mitzvah cannot do it for somebody else. Let's say a kid cannot blow shofar, because a child under bar mitzvah is not obligated in shofar. Right? So he can't blow shofar for an adult, because you need to hear it from somebody who's obligated in the mitzvah. Right? Women who biblically are not obligated in shofar, even though now they accepted it upon themselves, but a woman cannot blow shofar for a man. Why? Because she's not biblically responsible for the mitzvah, obligated in the mitzvah, so therefore she cannot blow for somebody. One who's not obligated in the mitzvah cannot do a mitzvah for one who is obligated. That's the rule.
But a woman can blow.
Women can do whatever they want. They do anyway.
They cannot force somebody to do mitzvah.
So much.
Shoot them. Yeah? What do you want to say?
What about...
A woman can blow for a woman.
That's all I want to hear.
So I answered it.
Oh, thank you.
He's agreeing with you, right?
For a change. Now, for instance, if a man heard Shafer already, a man already heard Shafer in Shul. He walks in the street, somebody says to him, hey, do me a favor, can you blow Shafer for me? I didn't hear Shafer, I want you to blow Shafer for me. So the question is, so we know that you blow shofar for them, right? To fulfill them the obligation. But the question is, 1 minute, I'm not obligated anymore. I already did the mitzvah. I heard shofar already. So I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. How in the world can I blow shofar for somebody who is obligated if I'm not obligated? Right? We know a man made kiddush already in shul. He can go home and make kiddush again for his wife. The question is, what do you mean? She has to hear Kiddush. The man already heard his obligation. He's not obligated anymore. How could he make Kiddush for his wife? How could he blow Shofar for his wife? How could he read Megillah again for somebody if he already did his obligation? He's not obligated. And one who's not obligated cannot fulfill somebody else who is obligated. So it says in Allah, you could. Why? Because of this rule. Kol Yisrael Areivim Ze LaZeh means, I have a responsibility that you should do your mitzvah. So I don't have an obligation to hear Shofar because I heard it already. But I have an obligation to make sure you hear Shofar. You hear Kiddush. You hear Megillah. You hear whatever the mitzvah that I'm going to be doing for you. And therefore, I am obligated to make you hear Shofar. And therefore, I could blow Shofar for you. Therefore, I could blow shofar for you, because this pasuk teaches me, I am responsible for you to hear shofar. But a kid, let's say, who's not obligated at all, he can't blow shofar for an adult, because if you're not obligated at all, you can't blow shofar for somebody who is obligated. Or Megillah, whatever the mitzvah is. So therefore, this pasuk teaches us a very important practical din. That if you did a mitzvah already, I am still responsible to make sure another Jew does their mitzvah too.
And this varies, like let's say between your relationship with your brother or any Jew, does that responsibility vary?
No.
It's the same whether it's your brother or another Jewish person. Same.
The obligation to make sure they do the mitzvah? I mean, charity begins at home, like they say. The giving tzedakah halachically goes to a family member before other people. But in this obligation of making sure they do a mitzvah, it's equal. Now, why is this? Why is this? See, there's a really interesting versions in the Gemara how this expression is brought down. Here in this Chumash, Rashi uses the expression, Shekol Yisrael Arevim Ze Loze, responsible one to another. In many other places, in Gemara and other places, the expression of the Gemara is, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Boze, which translated loosely also means one to another. But really, one to another in Hebrew is Ze Loze, not Ze Boze, means one in the next. So therefore, many Mefarshim explain what is the word Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Loze. The word Arevim has three meanings. The root of it is Arev, Ayin Reish Beis. Arev means a guarantor. Like you take a loan, you have an Arev, which is a guarantor for a loan. Arev, Arevim in Hebrew also means sweet. Sweet. And Arevim means Ta'aruvis, which means mixed. A mixture. Chassidus interprets this very interestingly. Why is it that every Jew is responsible? Why am I responsible for you? I'm me and you're you. Why should I be responsible for you? You know, each man should die for their own sins, not... why did the pasuk over here says I'm responsible for you? Like, mind your own business. Like the Rebbe said many times, because of this, the concept of mind your own business is against Torah. Because your business in mitzvahs is my business in mitzvahs. The Torah obligates me to make sure that you do it. So what does it mean, call yourself a Levim Zebazet? It means three meanings. Number one, we're all responsible one for another. Like we said, responsible. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazem means all Jews are mixed together. One big, happy or unhappy body. It's all one body. And you find this, therefore, in the marshal of this, which is brought down in the Mefoshim, is, you know, if you have a stomachache, you can't think. You know, if you're not feeling well in the stomach, your brain doesn't work. The question is, what does the stomach have to do with the brain? Because the stomach hurts, the brain can't work. I mean, like, you have an ingrown toenail, so you have a pain in the foot, so therefore the brain can't... I mean, like, what does it have to do with the next? What's the answer? Because it's one big body. All parts of the body are interconnected. So therefore, if there's a blemish, a pain in one... the whole body is affected by it. Why? Because the whole body is mixed as one unit. And this is what it means. Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Boze means not only Ze Loze, but the expression many places is Ze Boze means that all the Jews are mixed one with another. And therefore, why am I responsible for you? Because you are a part of me. And I am a part of you. And therefore we're responsible for one another because we're all one. And, one second, and the last interpretation is, I even from the expression of sweetness, Amen.
Thank you.
It was for your wife, not for you.
Maybe see that.
So, one second, so what does it mean? The third interpretation means, all Jews sweeten one another also. All Jews sweeten one another. But this explains a very important concept of Yiddishkeit, that every Jew is responsible for one another to make sure they don't sin, and to make sure they keep all the mitzvahs, to the extent that even if I did my mitzvah already, I still have an obligation to make sure you do your mitzvah. And therefore, even though I'm personally not obligated now, I'm obligated to see that you do it. But the reason is because we're all mixed into one neshama or one guf. According to Torah, it works like this. All neshamas were in Adam Rishon. This is what it says in the Arizal. The Arizal writes, all neshamas originated in one person, Adam Rishon. And therefore, all the neshamas of all the Jews, of all the generations, are really the same thing. The only thing that separates us is the bodies. Your body is not my body, is not her body, his body, their body, whatever. Everybody's body is different. But the primary part of the person, the good and bad of the person, it comes from the neshama, affecting the body, that we are all one. Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh, we're mixed. And because we're mixed, all the Jews are responsible for one another. So the Torah and the curse says, you're going to be responsible for somebody else, and therefore you are going to be punished for not admonishing, if you have the ability to do it, somebody else that's sinning. So it's like you sinned. What do you know?
Everybody going to heaven? Because everybody...
Eventually we all go to heaven, but along the way we're all going to meet in hell for a long time. But don't worry, we're all going to be there. I'll tell you something. In heaven it's going to be pretty boring. Nobody's there. In Gehenna we're all going to be having a good time. Yeah, all the good food. Everything's going to...
Can we still do business
there?
In
Gehenna? Too hot to do business.
That's good. You give us guarantee now tonight.
Huh?
Give us guarantee tonight.
Catering.
You got insurance tonight.
Yeah, Hashem says, you know, Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu came up to Hashem and said, maybe you show me what's going on. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, he goes up to heaven. So Hashem says, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, stay here for a while. I'm busy now. Just stick around. You're hungry. Take some food in the fridge. So Moshe Rabbeinu opens up the fridge of Gan Eden. Yeah, a little tuna fish here, a little there. Shvachem ice is like they say, nothing special. So Moshe Rabbeinu eats a little bit of tuna fish. Anyway, meanwhile, he looks down and he sees in Gehenna, big party, catered, beautiful affair over there, everything's going on. And Hashem comes back and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're hungry? He says, yeah. He says, okay, in the refrigerator there's some more tuna fish. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, listen, let me ask you a question, with all due respect. Why over here, the food is very weak, and Gehenna, it's a lot of food. Hashem says, it doesn't pay to cook for two people. It's too small of a crowd to cook for. Okay, so that's what the pasuk says. But this is a very important pasuk, even in halacha and in philosophy of Yiddishkeit, the way we are responsible for one for another. They tell a kid's marshal for this. There was some people were traveling on a boat, and a little kid was on the boat, and he got bored. He had a pocket knife. And he took out his knife and he started making a hole under his seat. So the people at the boat came to him and they said, what are you doing? He said, mind your own business. He's making a hole in a... The people said, what are you doing? He says, I paid for my seat. I could do under my seat whatever I want. They said to him, you moron, if you have water under your seat, we're all going to drown. Okay, so what's the marshal? You can't say... You can't tell me how to behave. I can behave any way I want. It's my life, I can behave any way I want. Because the truth is, because of this pasuk, the Torah teaches us that what you do affects me and him and him and everybody. Whatever we do affects everybody. And that's what the pasuk says. V'koshul ish b'yachiv. Okay, then the pasuk says like this. Lamed ches. V'avadetem b'goyim, you will become longst amongst the nations. V'och le'eschem eretz eveichem. And the land of your foes, the land of your enemies, will devour you. Now, it doesn't mean, vavaditam, like it normally means that you're going to disappear, because obviously the Jews are still there. What it means is, Rashi says, you're going to be isolated from each other. The worst thing, as we know, in life is loneliness. Right? Loneliness is one of the worst things that a person could go live through. So he says that the Jews are going to be lonely because of their sin, b'aveinam, because of their sins, be'eretz eveichem. You're going to be consumed in the land of your enemies. V'nisharim b'chem, and the people that will remain left over, yimaku b'aveinam, will disintegrate in the land of their, because of their sins, b'aretz eveichem. And the sins of the father are going to be with them as well. Okay? So Rashi says, what does this mean? That not only are you going to be punished for your sins, you're going to be punished for your parents and grandparents and all their sins too. Now, the Gemara asks, one second, the Gemara asks, there's a famous contradiction. The famous contradiction in Chumash. One pasuk says in the Aseret Dibros, "Peiked avain." Not necessarily. We would read it on a fast day. "Peiked avain aves al banim al bnei banim al shileishim al ribayim." It says in right after the eagle that Hashem says, "I'm going to remember the sin for four generations. Four generations, you're going to be accumulative punished for the sins." So the Gemara asks, Rashi brings it, everybody asks, but it says in the Aseret Dibros, I'm not necessarily, Ish b'chata yumas, lo yumsu aves abanim, a father will not die for a son's sin, the son will not die for the father's sin, everybody's going to die for their own sin. So how could you say Hashem is going to keep four generations of sin if the pasuk says we only die for our own sins? So the Gemara answers, it depends how the child behaves. If the father sins and the child doesn't, then the Torah says, you're not going to die for your father's sins. He was wicked, you're not going to die for his sins. But when the son follows in the footsteps of the evil parents, Hashem says, I'm going to add it on, accumulatively, four generations of sins you're going to get. So Hashem says, not only am I going to punish you for yours, I'm going to punish you for the previous ones too. And therefore, it's pretty sad. I mean, as far as there's going to be new sins, it says, and they're going to do it for their own sins, plus in, you know, the previous generations, there's going to be with them. Okay, then the pasuk says like this. V'zvado savenam, and then the Jews will come along and confess their sins. V'savena v'esam, the sins of the fathers, b'ma'ala ma'shamalu bi, with the treachery what they betrayed me, v'af ha'shehocha'imi b'kedi, and also for having behaved towards me with casualness, I mean, like we learned before, not caring, nothing is divine providence, nothing's, everything is coincidental, and so on. So it says like this, you're going to confess your sins, we need to learn the next pasuk to understand this one. You're going to confess your sins and the sins of your father, sounds good. Right? They're confessing the sins finally.
I hope you can find.
So it says, I'm just going to go with you still in a casual way. I'm going to bring you again to the land of your enemies. So the Mefarshim ask, if the guys are confessing their sins, like, why isn't that good? They're confessing their sins. So the Chizkuni explains that even though they confessed, it wasn't real. They didn't mean it. Yeah, you could say, I sinned, and I'm going to plan to keep doing it. I mean, you could say I sinned. You know, like we said many times, they say that there's, you know, you say, chotasi, I sinned, asham, nubagan, yeah. So you can have it, it depends how you sing it. One guy says, Hashamnu, I sinned, and I'm going to keep doing it. Another guy says, Hashamnu, I sinned? He said, I sinned. He said the words, I sinned. But he sang it the wrong way. He asks the question, I sinned? You know, it depends how you say it. So, according to other Mefarshim, it was sincere, but not really sincere. It was not sufficient to wipe away previous generations. And in simple English, you can have a garment that's a little dirty, it's easy to clean. When there's thicker, bigger stains, it's harder to clean. When there's thick stains from previous times, it's very hard to clean. So some of us learn, the Chizkuni, for instance, says the reason why Hashem didn't accept it, because it wasn't sincere. They confessed, but they confessed because they had no choice. You know, he kept getting beaten up. So they say, okay, I sinned, but they didn't mean it. Some of us learn, it might be truthful, but the fact that it's a cumulative sins for so long and from previous generations, it takes much more than that to do it. Some of us learn, like he brings out from the Chafetz Chaim, says that there's two parts of confession. Confession in tshuva, halacha says, Rama means down, you need to do two parts of tshuva. One is regret on the past, but you have to be acceptance on the future.
Chance to do it again.
That, no, they accept that you're not going to sin again. So a guy can say, I'm very sorry for what I did. But again, he's taka sorry for what he did in the past. That doesn't mean he's not planning to do it again. So therefore, it's incomplete. So the pasuk says, even though the Jews are confessing their sins, but nevertheless, Hashem is saying to them, it's still not good enough to get rid of the sins. Sometimes you need, like those that remember the good old days, when they had the board, when you went to wash clothing, there was this board with, you know, the washboard. In Yiddish they called it the bretel. It was, you don't have to scrub, or today you just put some extra bleach on it, you know. You spray some stain remover, Shout, yeah. But, so the pasuk is saying, you know, when you confess, the more the sin is, the more tshuva you have to do. And therefore Hashem says, I'm not accepting it. You're very kind, God. He is very kind. He's very kind. Let me ask you a question. I think we just discussed this concept a little bit differently, but surgery is good or not?
Sometimes good.
If it works, it's good?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a question, but it's very painful. What's the answer? It's worth being in pain for a week, let's say, that for the rest of your life you don't have the pain. The pain of surgery is even, sometimes even more than the pain you had. But it's still worth a week of heavier pain, so to speak, that for the rest of your life you're healthy. Punishment in Yiddishkeit is chesed. It's chesed. The Gemara says, Motiv de ladain of alesa la'amadas, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, about Achid. It's worth for him to be punished in all the tortures of Gehenna, purgatory, hell, whatever you want to call it, that he should go to Gan Eden. When a person understands that when Hashem punishes us, it's really an act of kindness, because a little bit of punishment in this world removes a lot in the world to come. And the Gemara gives an analogy of this, that when the sun makes a shadow down here on earth, in order for the shadow down here to move a few feet, the sun in the sky moved hundreds of miles. Meaning, a little down here takes off a lot up there. We mentioned, it even says in Sfarim, that if somebody, let's say, they don't use this exact marshal, but let's say you need a quarter for the meter, and you put your hand in your pocket, and you pull out a dime, and you have to put your hand a second time into the pocket to get a quarter, that is called punishment that removes punishment in the world to come. So the whole concept of the whole concept of punishment is not because Hashem is a meanie. Hashem kerachum v'chanun, Hashem punishes us in this world, that in the eternal world to come, which is not for 70, 80, 120 years, it's forever, the person is clean and able to have a clean basking in godliness. That's punishment in this world. And by the way, anytime a person goes through any suffering in this world, they should look at it as surgery. Not somebody else. When you see somebody else suffering, you have to scream to God, why is that person suffering? They shouldn't be suffering. But the person himself or herself who is suffering, God forbid, their attitude has to be, this is surgery, Hashem is making me clean and healthy. Yeah.
Don't we learn that Yom Kippur atones for our sins?
Only if you do tshuva.
But the day itself, if you learn that it atones for...
That's Rabbi's opinion. Tzumah shel yom mechaper. The Chachamim hold, and that's the halacha, that the etzem of the day doesn't forgive, you need to do tshuva.
But isn't the top of the fast the tshuva?
No, if somebody fasts and... is not interested in doing tshuva.
No, but I mean,
maybe they lost some weight, but they didn't do. They didn't do any. No, tshuva has to be done in Yom Kippur.
What?
Tshuva has to be done in Yom Kippur.
So if a person goes, you know, 4 or 5 times in service, Al Chet, you know, asking Hashem,
and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I mean, that's the question. What's the tshuva? If they mean it, then it's tshuva.
So we shouldn't do it anymore.
Let me ask you a very simple question. Nothing personal. I'm in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. We mentioned this also. Yom Kippur comes. Yeah? I mean, people in this room are religious people. They go to shul. They probably know a little bit what they're davening. They really feel sorry, right? Tell me, how many people radically change after Yom Kippur? Does anybody that you know, including ourselves, do we change after Yom Kippur? You know, with the same people. The question, but yesterday you did tshuva? Yet we'll go speak Lashon Hara and we'll do this and we'll do that and we'll do that. Exactly. How many people do you see become brand new, 100% people, God forgive me, after Yom Kippur? What's the answer? The answer is, the person meant it on Yom Kippur. It's not that he didn't mean it. On Yom Kippur we mean it. We have a Yetzer Hara, so the Yetzer Hara wakes up right after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur goes to sleep. He says, okay, do your thing. I won't bother you today. One day a year I'm off. And go. But, so the real level of tshuva, what that the pasuk here is not talking about, because they say it wasn't, that you do it in such a way that you don't even have a connection to want to do it anymore.
Why we do it again?
Because obviously we didn't mean it 100%, we only meant it 99%. But we have to understand very clearly, as we learned at the beginning of the Teichacha, Hashem's punishments are a kindness of cleansing.
What is the use of the...
When a doctor does surgery to a patient, yeah, the doctor really hurts you. Yeah? After surgery, if you wake up, hope, what do people tell the doctor? Thank you. I never heard somebody thanking me for beating me up.
If he did it on the right side.
That's another thing. The right person, the right...
Don't leave the scissor though.
Yeah. So the question is, you're telling the doctor thank you. What do you tell him thank you? That he made you suffer? You're not telling the doctor for what he did to you now. You're talking thank you for the long-term health that he gave you back. That's what the person, and that's what Hashem is doing it.
I thought when we say the Yud Gimel Mipo, and we say Rav Chesed, the Emet, the Notzer Chesed, the Notzer Chesed is the idea above nature, it's the eighth attribute. And that it goes beyond, no matter what, Hashem is forgiving us.
Correct.
Or it's done.
If we mean it. When I hit you once and I ask you forgiveness, you might forgive me. I'll say you will. If I hit you again and I ask forgiveness, it's going to be a little bit harder to get your forgiveness. If I hit you 10 times every hour on the hour and I ask you forgiveness, you're going to tell me go fly a kite. Right? You're going to tell me go somewhere. Why? Because we have limited savlonut. We have limited patience, and we have limited forgiveness. Okay? Hashem, we say three times a day in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Amidah, Chanun Hamarbe L'Sloyach. Marbe means infinite forgiveness. And the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that if you have infinite forgiveness, there is no difference between the first time, the second time, hundredth time, millionth time. And therefore, the halacha is, we learned, anytime there's a doubt about making a bracha, you don't make it. Safik bracha slahoka, because you might say God's name in vain, right? So on the doubt, you don't make a bracha. Yet, three times a day, we say, Baruch atah Hashem, a clear bracha, Chanun, the merciful one, Amar b'lisleach, that does an abundance of forgiving. So the truth is, if a person means it, Hashem forgives. You mean it 50%? Hashem forgives 50%, I guess. And he never told me, you know, what he does with that. But it's up to us. But one thing is for sure. The punishment is cleansing. It's chesed.
How do you know that Hashem doesn't forgive us? How do you know? How do I know?
If he does not,
we don't know.
Only God knows. Only God knows.
Exactly. I mean, some people look, they're not punished. And they do evil things.
Some people did such terrible things. There's a lot of chassidish stories with people, you know, and the story of the Baal Shem Tov with the storyteller, the guy was going around telling stories of the Baal Shem Tov, and then he forgot, okay, that guy had to do a certain level of tshuva wasn't enough, and it wasn't enough, and he had to do more and more and more and more until finally he got it right. And that's the way, you know, that's the way it works. We don't know anything. Do you know if a person's bad or good?
Nothing.
What do we know? We know nothing.
Yeah, but these punishments that you're talking about only refers to the seventh year.
No, that was those. These are all for all the sins. Yeah, for all sins. Okay, then the pasuk says like this. Okay, pasuk mem aleph. Afani elech imam bakari. I will also go with them with casualness. I'm going to bring them to the land of their enemies again. Perhaps then their unfeeling heart will be humbled. Then they will gain appeasement for their sins. Dar Lachaim explains over here that God is sometimes patient for many generations, and therefore it's like this. Sometimes you see generations of people that were not good, even by, like the Mishnah says in Pigovis, 10 generations from Adam to Noach, they were all bad, but God didn't kill them right away. He waited 10 generations until he killed them. In other words, Hashem doesn't work, and people think, I'm going to desecrate Shabbos, that second lightning is going to come down from heaven and strike me. Hashem doesn't work that way. Hashem is very patient, sometimes for generations. The Rosh Chaim explains, this is what the Torah means. And therefore, Hashem realizes that we need to understand that they were also wrong in what they did. Not only am I wrong, but there were generations. What do we say in our Shamnu? Aval anachnu v'aveisenu chatanu. Right in the right before Shamnu. Sheinonu azipanim mukshayedav. We don't have the chutzpah to say, God, we didn't sin. Aval anachnu v'aveisenu chatanu. We sinned and our parents, forefathers sinned. And Hashem is very patient with that. And then he says, Hashem says, I'll bring you a comfort. Okay? What does it mean, I'll bring you to a land? So Rashi says like this, what it means is, Hashem doesn't kill us. He still loves us. He disperses us amongst the nations. He punishes us, but he doesn't, we're still here. That itself is chesed of Hashem. That with all the punishment that he gives us, we're still here. And we didn't disintegrate yet. Okay, now it's almost finished, the Teichacha.
Wait, that's on this section. When you say that when somebody does tshuva, is really, he regrets, and he means it, that he's not going to do it.
Right.
But if he feels that, you know, maybe lose control and I do it again and so on. But when he's regretting it, at the same time he asks, please give me time or opportunity to eventually to stop what I'm doing that is wrong and so on. That's still considered...
That's the tshuva process. Hashem gives us as much time as we want. Hashem has a lot of time. He's not in any rush.
I'm thinking that, okay, so let's say I go and say, you know, I do tshuva, I'm not going to do it, I really regret it, I'm going to stop. And then right after that you say, well, people don't change. Right after that they stop.
Okay.
So, but if at the point that you're doing it, you say there's possibility that what I did wrong, it happens again. What if I did then say, you know what, please give me time to slowly correct myself.
That is a high level of tshuva. It's a lofty level of tshuva. Hashem is very patient. There's a pasuk, we said this many times in shul by the Fabengs, whatever. The pasuk says in Tillim, Kirchek mizrach mimayrav, hechek mimenu es psha'enu. Like the distance of east and west, you should distance our sins. Now, how far is east from west?
Turnaround.
Huh? A turnaround. Mm-hmm. Right? You could be going 100,000 miles east. Right? In the wrong direction. Right. All you do is turn around, you're already going west. And that's the concept of tshuva. Tshuva means turn around. Once you turn around, Hashem says, I got, until you get to your destination, it could be a 1,000-mile journey, you know? Hashem says, I got time, as long as he's going in the right direction. There's the Zayar. The Zayar says, Man de nafel mi dargei ikremis. A person who falls from their level is called dead. Doesn't matter. Like the Mashal, we mentioned this many times. You can have two people on a ladder. Yeah? One's on the eighth step, and one's on the fourth step. Who's higher? Depends which way they're going. It depends which way they're going. If eight is coming down and four is going up, four is higher than eight. Okay? If a tzaddik or a higher person is sinning, going down, and the lower person is going up, Hashem says, that guy's dead and you're alive. All Hashem wants is the turn. That's why it's a very interesting thing. The expression in the Mishnah, we mentioned this one, we learned Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Yafa Shah Achas B'tshuva Maisen Tevim Ba'olam Hazeh Mikoch Elam Haba. Simply means, 1 hour, Yafa Shah Achas, 1 hour of tshuva Maisen Tevim, of tshuva and good deeds in this world, is better than the whole Elam Haba. So what does it mean, an hour? It's brought down in the Mefarshim, especially Chassidus brings this down also, Shah doesn't mean an hour. Literally, Shah means an hour. Okay? But you have a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, when Cain and Hevel brought their korban, it says, Vel Cain vel minchasei lo Shah. Same exact word. God didn't turn to Cain's sacrifice. Vayisha Hashem Hevel vel minchasei. Hashem turned to Hevel. Well, Cain, the man chosei, to Cain's offering because it was cheap. Lo Shah, God didn't turn. What does it mean? The Mefarshim explain: Shah achas b'tshuva ma'isin tevim doesn't mean an hour of tshuva ma'isin tevim. It means one turning of tshuva ma'isin tevim. Just one turn is better than the olam haba. It's not tshuva. The Zohar has an expression: b'shaita chada b'riga chada. How long does tshuva take? A second. Tshuva, b'riga chod, b'rega chod. 1 second, because tshuva touches a level in the person and in God and in Torah and everything, which is above time and place. In a split second, the person could do tshuva. There is a bumper sticker that says, avoid the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur rush, do tshuva now. You know, because over there everybody's doing tshuva, it's a lot of rush traffic. Do tshuva now because you shouldn't wait for rush hour. No traffic. Now there's no traffic. Okay, so now the pasuk says like this. Pasuk Mem Beis. V'zachayti, when you wake up about your sins, you know, you're going to wake up about your sins, it says like this. This is a very famous pasuk also. V'zachayti is b'risi Yaakov. Hashem said, I will remember my covenant I made with Yaakov. V'af is b'risi Yitzchak, and also the covenant I made with Yitzchak. V'af is b'risi Avram Esker, and the covenant I made with Avram I will remember. V'ar it's Esker, and the land I will remember. That the land is holy, and therefore when you repent, you become worthy of the land. Okay? What?
The covenant.
No, the covenant that Hashem made with, that He promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that the Jews are His nation, no matter what.
Brit Mila or no?
It means covenant, but it doesn't mean here Bris Mila. Any covenant is called Bris. Okay, now, a few things about this pasuk. First thing we have to understand, why are the patriarchs going backwards? Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, and Avram, why is it going backwards? Also, if you look at the word Yaakov in this pasuk, Yaakov is normally spelled without a vav. In this pasuk, Yaakov is spelled with a vav, an extra vav. So it says like this, the Rashi quotes in the Medrash that five times in Tanakh, Eliyahu Anavi normally is spelled Aleph Lamed Yud Hey Vav, with a vav at the end. Five times in Tanakh, the name Eliyahu is without the vav at the end. And five times in Tanakh, Yaakov's name is with a vav. So five times it's missing by Eliyahu, and five times it's extra by Yaakov. So Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu took a guarantee, a collateral from Eliyahu. Eliyahu is Malach HaBris. Eliyahu Anavi is going to tell us Mashiach is coming. Right? Before Yahweh Eliyahu, Eliyahu is going to come and tell us Fnei Yom Hashem. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu said, Eliyahu, I don't trust you that you're going to come. So therefore, you see, you never trust a Jew. And he took a vav as collateral that he should make sure to come. That therefore, what does it mean? That until Eliyahu HaNavi redeems the Jews, he's incomplete. He's incomplete until he actually redeems the Jews. Why is the name of the others backwards? Yaakov, then Yitzchak, then Avram. So Rashi says, because Yaakov alone is worth for the redemption, and Yitzchak alone is worth the redemption, then Avram. So it goes in the reverse order to show that each one of them by themselves, in their merit, is worthy that the Jews should be redeemed. Okay? Now, some of Farshim learn a different thing. Some of Farshim explain like this. You go from the lowest to the highest. Yaakov, that he was good, was no great thing. He had a Yitzchak, a father, and Avram, a grandfather. He had good lineage. Yitzchak was greater than Yaakov because he had only one person to learn from, Avram. Avram had nobody to learn with, to learn from. His father was Terech, his father was an idol worshipper. So the pasuk is going, what's called Mamata Lamaila. That Yaakov, and how much more so Yitzchak, and how much more so in the merit of Avram, should Hashem says, I'm going to remember the covenant. But he says, you Jews really had a lot of people to learn from. Then he brings out over here also, that the Dubna Magid brings a famous marshal that he used to bring. He says like this, two thieves were brought before the judge for sentencing. Before the judge sentences the two thieves, he finds out one came from bandits, one came from a bandit family, and the other son came from a distinguished rabbi. This is the marshal, the Dubna Magid says. So the judge sees these two kids, one's the son of a rabbi, one's the son of a ganav, of a thief. So the judge says, you know, the rabbi's kid is going to be punished more. Because he's more to blame. Because look where he comes from, and look where he comes from, what do you want from him? It's in the family business, so he's continuing the family business of being a thief. This guy, you know, he's not continuing the family business, so he's more to blame. So he says, what is the enormity of the Jew's sins? Because we come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Look who we come from. In fact, there's a very interesting story with the Rebbe. Somebody once came into the Rebbe, you know, one of these Satmar Chassidim type of people. And he says, he loves Chabad very much. But why does Chabad have to be Makariv, bring closer to Yiddishkeit, people that are like nothing, you know, far away from Yiddishkeit? Why should we waste our time with them? That's what he asked the Rebbe. So the Rebbe said to him, let me ask you a question. If a son of a great Rebbe of yours, you know, a very great tzaddik Rebbe, if his son turned off from Yiddishkeit, what would your approach be? He said, what do you mean? He's the son of a holy person. Of course we have to bring him back. You know, his father's a tzaddik. So the Rebbe said to him, every Jew is Ben Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Every Jew is a son descendant of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why is there any different than the son of your tzaddikim? Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov are greater than your tzaddik, for sure. So why are you only worried about him and not them? It's all part of this Berisi Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avraham Yitzchak. Every Jew is a Ben Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
One big family.
Yeah, one big family. One big happy family. Or sad family. What are the two? So that's why the Pasuk says. Now, yet the Mefarshim bring down that when Moshe Rabbeinu davened in Chumash Shmos, on the base, in over there Moshe Rabbeinu by the eagle, when he davened by to Hashem, he said like this. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu said in Pashas Kisisa, Zecher, when he says, why are you destroying the Jews for sinning in the eagle? He says, Zecher l'Avram u'Yitzchak u'Yisrael. Over there he goes in order. Okay? So why does Moshe Rabbeinu over there go in order? So they say, because Moshe Rabbeinu said the Jews sinned so bad in the eagle, right after Matan Torah, they need the merit of all three. But the See, when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know how much merits we need. You know, how much reserves we need. So Moshe Rabbeinu pulls out all the guns. He says, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Here Hashem's talking. Hashem says, I'm going to remember. I want you to know, Yaakov is enough, Yitzchak's enough, Avraham's enough. They're all enough. I don't need all three. But it's remarkable to the concept that every Jew is Ben Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So therefore, in that respect, Hashem has to redeem us and Vard Tzedekar. And it says that when Yidden, we're going to finish with this because later already, but a lot of Yiddishkeit is cause and effect. Okay? Mipnei chatoeinu, golinu miyartzeinu. What do we say in Musaf and Yom Tov? Because of our sins, we are exiled from our land. Like the Pasuk is speaking here, right? That means there's a cause and effect. Cause is the sin, the effect has been driven out of the land. The second the cause goes away, it's a spring back. Okay, that's the way Hashem works. There's cause and effect. That's why the Gemara says, any generation that doesn't rebuild the Beit HaMikdash in their days is considered as if they destroyed it. Why? Because if the sins would go away, then automatically the Beis HaMikdash would be here. The fact that the Beis HaMikdash is not here because the sins are still here. So therefore the Gemara says it's like you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because your sins are not allowing it to be rebuilt. So it's automatic. So Hashem says like this. At the beginning of the Teichach we learned that when Jews sin, Hashem is going to throw them out of Eretz Yisrael. And we learned because the earth is like a very delicate stomach. You know, it needs delicate food. You give it coarse food, it's going to throw up. It's going to vomit. The Pasuk says clearly, the earth shouldn't vomit you up, in correct English, but shouldn't vomit you up like it did the nation before you. So the pasuk says like this: the second I remember the bris, the second I remember you doing tshuva, immediately you're back to the land. So I'm going to remember the land, you're going to immediately go back.